Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit, a six-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. This out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle is based on five essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Amazing Power of Forgiveness.
Tonight, I want us to look at the amazing power of forgiveness. And honestly, friends, I don't know a more important subject than the issue of forgiveness, because our world is filled with conflict, and families are filled with conflict, and marriages are filled with conflict. The problem is, most people think they understand forgiveness, but they really don't. Forgiveness may be the most misused, misapplied, misunderstood quality in our culture. We think we know what forgiveness is all about, but we really don't. And to start us off tonight, I thought we'd begin with a little quiz. So look on your paper there. Now, no cheating, okay? No looking at the person next to yours paper, okay? Just write true or false. There's a T or F down there. And don't worry about it. If you get any of these wrong, I forgive you. Okay, so, and don't say it aloud, okay? We'll go over these together when we're through. Number one, a person should not be forgiven until he asks for it. And you can check the T or the F there for true or false. A person should not be forgiven until he asks for it, okay? Number two, forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. Forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. Number three, forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. T or F, true or false. Number four, you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. And you can write true or false. And then finally, number five, when I see somebody hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. Now, I'm not talking about if you hurt somebody, but you see somebody hurt by somebody else, it is my duty to forgive the offender. All right, everybody got their answers done? Okay. When you read the Bible and you see what God has to say about forgiveness, we discover that all five of those statements are false. All five of them are false. Now do I have your attention? When I say most people don't understand forgiveness, I mean it. Most people don't understand forgiveness. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at what is real forgiveness, and then we're going to look at why must I forgive the people who've hurt me in my life, and they have nothing to do with the person themselves that who hurt you. And then we're going to look at how do I forgive. And in the middle of it all, you're going to hear the most dramatic story of forgiveness. So let's get right into it. First, what is real forgiveness? You might write these down. Number one, it isn't conditional. It isn't conditional. Real forgiveness is unconditional. There's no attachment to it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't bargain for it. Forgiveness is not based on a promise to never do it again. It's just unconditional. You offer it to somebody whether they ask for it or not. You know, when somebody says, I will forgive you if, or if you say it to somebody else, I will forgive you if, that's not forgiveness. That's bargaining. If you do this, I'll do this. It's bargaining. Forgiveness is always unconditional. And if you put a condition, an if, on it, it's not really forgiveness. When Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." When he said that, nobody had asked for it. Nobody had said, "Oh, please forgive me, Jesus, for what they're doing to you." He just offered it. He took the initiative. And forgiveness is always your initiative. You forgive the person, whether they ask for it or whether they don't, whether they change or whether they don't, whatever. You just offer forgiveness unconditionally. Number two, it isn't minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness, real forgiveness, is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. And what I mean by that is when somebody comes and they ask for forgiveness and then you say, "Well, it's no big deal. It really didn't hurt. It's okay. It didn't really bother me. It wasn't that big a deal." If it wasn't a big deal, you don't need forgiveness and you don't need to offer it. That actually cheapens forgiveness. Forgiveness is only for the big stuff. You don't use it on little slights that are, you know, just minor issues. If it really requires forgiveness, then you should not minimize it when somebody asks you for forgiveness. And you shouldn't say, "Well, it wasn't a big deal." It was a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, you just say, "Oh, you don't need to ask forgiveness." But if it was, you need to admit it. Now, the fact is, there are a lot of big deals in life. Have you noticed that? It's easy to get hurt in a big way. And when you minimize it, if somebody went out and tried to minimize what happened at 9/11, well, that cheapens forgiveness. You don't put it down, and you need to understand the difference between being wounded and being wronged. They're not the same. Wounded requires not forgiveness, but just patience and acceptance. Being wrong required forgiveness. For instance, wounded is unintentional. If somebody comes out and they just say something, it kind of hurt your feelings, but they didn't really know what they were doing and they didn't mean it, or, you know, they just kind of blab off of the mouth. It wasn't intentional. That's the difference. When you're wounded, it's unintentional. They didn't mean to hurt you. When you're wrong, they did it intentionally. They lied to you, or they gossiped about you, or they hurt you physically. They did it intentionally to hurt you. And wrongs require forgiveness. Wounds only require acceptance and, you know, patience. So somebody just says something about you and hurts your feeling, or they didn't notice your new hairdo or something like that, that doesn't require forgiveness. I mean, let me give you an example. Let's just say, now I know this would never happen, but let's say you didn't like the way I dress. And you think, "You know, I think pastors should be a little bit more formal than Rick." Well, I don't need your forgiveness. I just need your acceptance. You just go, "Oh, that's just Rick. You know, he's kind of a dork, you know? I mean, he's," and you get the good and the bad together. You know, and when you get Rick, you get this and then that, and you're like, we've all got our weaknesses. And what I need from you is just your patience with me. I need your acceptance. I certainly don't need your forgiveness, because I haven't intentionally wronged you. I may have wounded you in some way. Maybe I overlooked you on the patio, but I didn't intentionally wrong you. And so I need acceptance, not forgiveness. On the other hand, if somebody really intends to do it and they wrong you, then they need to forgive you. So what am I saying? Forgiveness is always reserved for the big stuff. And when you minimize a hurt, you actually cheapen forgiveness. Does that make sense? Okay. Number three, it isn't resuming a relationship without change. Forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without change. In fact, forgiveness and resuming a relationship are two different things. One of them is what you do as the offended person, and resuming the relationship is what they do in order to get back into good graces. And just saying, "I'm sorry," is not enough. In fact, the Bible teaches that three things are essential to resume a relationship that's been broken. You might write these down. Three things to resume a relationship when it's been broken. Number one, that these all are what the offender has to do. Number one, you have to be genuinely repentant. In other words, you're truly, truly saddened by what you did. And that's not just saying, "I'm sorry." No, it means saying this: "I was wrong. Please forgive me." That's repentance. I was wrong, not, and please forgive me, not "I'm sorry." You can be sorry that the weather was bad or something like that. Repentance is saying, "I admit it. I was wrong, and I am sorry." The second thing that's required to restore a relationship after repentance is restitution. Sometimes you have to do some kind of physical or material restitution. If I came over to your house and I burned down your house, it wouldn't be enough for me to go, oops, I'm sorry. No, you wouldn't have to assume that debt. I'd have to assume that debt because I destroyed your house. You don't just say, oh, fine, you're forgiven, and then I'm let off the hook. I still have to pay my debt to society or to you. Does that make sense? So forgiveness, you can say, I forgive you, but you're still going to have to pay your debt. And there is some restitution for what was damaged or destroyed in what you did. And the third thing that's required for restoring a relationship is rebuilding trust. Rebuilding trust. There must be repentance, restitution, and rebuilding trust. And that, friends, takes a long, long time. Forgiveness is instant. When somebody hurts you, you have to forgive them immediately. But you don't have to trust them immediately. Trust is rebuilt. Forgiveness is built on grace. It's unconditional. And you do it not because they deserve it. You do it because it's the right thing to do. By the way, nobody deserves forgiveness. You don't. And I don't. So it's not something that we deserve. You just give it out of grace. But then trust is something that's rebuilt over a period of time. For instance, if somebody at your office, they're just really a jerk, and they offend you over and over and over and over and over and over, and they keep telling lies about you behind your back over and over and over and over and over. Okay, you must forgive them over and over and over and over, but you don't have to trust them. God doesn't expect you to be an idiot, you know? And, you know, some con man comes in and he cons you once. Well, you don't have to say, I forgive you, now con me again, okay? You understand the difference between forgiveness and trust? I mean, the whole thing here is that, for instance, let's say there's an abusive alcoholic spouse, and he or she comes back to his or her spouse, and they say, you know, I'm really sorry about this. I feel bad about it. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And they've been abusive because of alcohol. And you say, yes. And then they say, well, will you let me back in the house? Well, now that's another matter. That has to be based on repentance, restitution, and rebuilding trust. And rebuilding trust takes time. You can lose trust in a second. Just go have an affair, and you lose trust in a second. But it often takes a long, long time to rebuild it. Forgiveness is by grace. Trust must be re-earned. Now, the reason I'm belaboring this point is because in our culture, most people don't get this, the difference between the two. And whenever a political leader, really, they get caught in a scandal of money or sex or any kind of thing, or a religious leader gets caught in a scandal of money or sex or anything, or a government, an academic leader, or a civic leader, or anything like that, there will always be a certain percentage of the people who go, hey, we're all imperfect, we're all human, we need to just forgive him and keep on going. Well, no. Yes, you must forgive him immediately, but you don't have to trust him. And the Bible says trust is built on time. Credibility is what a leader leads with. All leaders must have trust. It's the money it's the currency they live in. If you don't trust me, I'm not your leader. And if you lose trust, you have lost your right to lead at that moment. And you may have the title, but you're not the leader until you've rebuilt trust. And that isn't going to happen instantly. Does that make sense? So if a pastor falls in a scandal or a politician falls in a scandal or something like that, yes, you must forgive them immediately, but you don't immediately just start trusting them again. In fact, they probably need to take a break from leadership and do something else and get their act together and figure out why they fell. And then, as it's rebuilt, they may have a second chance at leadership. But it's all built on trust. Number four, forgiveness isn't forgetting what's happened. Forgiveness isn't forgetting what's happened. Now, this is real important because some of you are afraid to forgive people who've hurt you because you say, I don't want to forget. They hurt me so bad, and I don't want to let it go. I don't want to forget. Now, you've heard this phrase over and over, forgive and forget, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. There's only one problem with it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You really can't forget any hurt that's been in your life. You will never forget it. In fact, you can't even try to forget. People say, have you forgotten it? Well, I'm trying. I'm really trying. What happens? When you're trying, you're focusing on the very thing that you can't forget. I'm trying to forget. It's like a smoker. Have you quit smoking? Well, I'm trying. I'm trying. What do you, the whole time, anytime you try to do something, you are focusing on what you don't want the whole time. You know, that's like when you go on a diet, you think about food all the time. Have you noticed that? You think about it more than when you're not on a diet. You actually focus on it. And the only way you can forget something is actually to refocus on something else. It's like if you're watching TV and this is a dumb show and I want to forget it, it's real simple. Change the channel. When something else gets my attention, then I will forget the former. Nothing like a new relationship to cause you to forget the old one. Okay? But if you don't have a new relationship, you're going to keep thinking about that one. Okay? Now, what's more important is forgetting is not what God wants you to do. There's something better than forgiving and forgetting. And what it is forgiving and then remembering the hurt and then seeing how God can bring good out of it. That's more important than forgetting. Actually remembering the hurt and then seeing how God brought good out of it. Because then you thank God for the good that he brought out of it. You don't thank God for things you forget. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a great comfort verse. And we know, not guess, we know that all things, not some things, but all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the Bible says that if I love God and I'm following his purposes, God says, then I will make sure that no matter what happens to you, all things will work together for good. Now, it doesn't say all things are good because all things are not good. Cancer is not good. Disease is not good. Death is not good. Divorce is not good. War is not good. Rape and abuse is not good. There are a lot of bad things in life. They are evil. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will. Don't blame God for some murderer who's going out killing somebody. That's called evil. That's why we need God in our lives. So not everything in the world is good, but the cool thing about it is that God says, I will work even good out of bad if you will trust me. If you come to me and say, God, I give you all the pieces of my life, he will return peace for my pieces. And when I give him the pieces of my life, he gives me peace in my heart. And what is that peace? It's the peace knowing that all things work together for good. Even the hurts in my life, even the mistakes that I caused in my life, God will use them for good in my life if I will trust him. Now, is that a promise for everybody? No, it is not a promise for everybody. It says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What that means is if I'm not living for God and I'm not following his purposes, all things are not working together for good in my life. In fact, if I'm not trying to go God's way, all things are working together for bad. If I thumb my nose to God and say, God, I'm going to do my own thing. I want to follow my own rules. I want to be my own God. God has no responsibility to make your life work out, to make it all work for good. In fact, it's all working for bad because you're moving further and further away from God. But when I come to him and I say, God, I give it to you, he works it for good. And so what we want to do is not forget, because you can't anyway. You know, every memory you've ever had is still in your brain, even the ones you never thought consciously. And we know that today a surgeon can cut back your scalp and stimulate part of your brain, and you will have memories that you knew, never knew you even had. They are there, and they will come back, and they'll be vivid because it's all stored in this marvelous machine that God has given us called the brain. It's all there. So you really can't forget it. But God says, I didn't say you had to forget it. What I said is forgive it, and then look and see how I can bring good out of it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the truth is that most of us don't pay much attention to our health until something goes wrong. We put on a couple of pounds every year and think, no big deal, right? But a few pounds over 5 or 10 years can really add up. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. This 6-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman is an out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle based on five essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. The Daniel Plan Study Kit gives individuals the encouragement and accountability needed to succeed. If you've been watching the scale go up lately, or your health is in trouble because of your weight, it's not too late to join. Join the more than 15,000 people who've lost weight, improved their health, and improved their relationships by ordering the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. Let us send you a copy of the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share a letter from John, who says he's been reading the Daily Hope devotionals for 10 years. Wow, great, John. John says he uses these written devotionals every morning to start his daily prayer and Bible reading, and he writes this: Pastor Rick, I started receiving your Daily Hope devotionals about 10 years ago. Not only did they bless my life and help me with my daily walk, I would save them and send them to my friends when issues or questions would come up. So I look forward every morning to reading these devotionals, which typically start my daily prayer and Bible reading. You know, I recently got my boss signed up for Daily Hope devotionals, and it hit me how powerful they really are. You know, my wife and I decided to support Daily Hope over and above our tithe to our church to help you bring one more to Jesus. Well, John, your message is so special to me. You have really blessed me with this letter, because I'm glad for three reasons. First, that you have grown as a Christian through Daily Hope. Second, I'm glad that you're using the Daily Hope to help you study God's Word on a personal basis. And third, I want to thank you for caring enough to help other people that you have given generously of your funds and gifts to help us stay on the air and to allow us to actually even expand into other stations to take the good news of hope to places where it is desperately needed. So, John, thank you, thank you, thank you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.